Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
In a white room with black curtains near the station.
Black roof. Welcome back, 17 till the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I am the Small Business Advocate, the one and only. Please check out my website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Having a great visit with our good friend Joel Barker, one of the top futurists of our time, the author of several books on the concept of futuring, including Five Regions of the Future, including Future Edge. His new film is which is outstanding, is Innovation at the Verge. JoelBarker.com. Joel, thanks again for hanging out with us. New solar cell material, crystals, right? They've come up with a way to improve crystals for capturing certain kinds of, I love the way they talked about in the article about solar currency.
Yeah. This is what's going on. And by the way, you know why I picked this one, because the headline says, researchers demonstrate a new paradigm for solar cell. That'll get me every time, man.
Right.
That's just, but the point is here, that we are now moving to a material science sophistication, that we are designing materials to do things that don't happen in nature. And this story, which people, you know, if they go to your site, they can get the article and read it, because it's quite an extensive article. But they have created perovskite crystals. And by the way, I looked at perovskite crystal just so that I could say it's calcium and titanium in different combinations. And the image that was used in the story is perfect. They said the dilemma with solar cells is, if you think of the spectrum of light as coinage, as money, as you were saying,
right?
It rains down silver dollars, it rains down half dollars, it rains down nickels and dimes. And the thing is that certain solar cells can only catch the dimes, others can only catch the quarters, others can only catch the pennies. And so you're not getting all the spectrum of energy and light that's coming to Earth, for, you know, thanks to the sun. This perovskite crystal has the ability to grab much of the coinage, much of the spectrum, very efficiently. And what that does is that
changes. So it's more three-dimensional. So a typical solar cell may be two-dimensional, but this is like more three-dimensional. So it has a much more discerning net.
Exactly, and that's cool. That's a really good image, too. Different nets at different layers catching different size pieces of the spectrum. And the end result is all of a sudden, instead of talking about 6% or 8% or 12% efficiency, we might be talking about 30%.
Wow.
We might be talking about numbers that were dreams 25
that
years
now,
ago.
That now can compete with carbon fuel.
Absolutely. And all of a sudden, the surface area, you know, we've got a huge surface area on the planet.
Yep.
If we can make this stuff cheap, and calcium and titanium are relatively cheap compared to a lot of stuff that we make solar cells.
And so this would be power to the grid.
Yes.
But there's also another alternative energy program that you're reporting on this month that is more micro than macro, right?
That's right, and we can thank Stanford University for doing this. By the way, the funding they got was federal funding, so when people say, why are we putting federal monies into research? The answer is we get stuff like this.
It's a great way to use federal money, in my opinion. Technology transfer, of course.
Best money for the buy. Here's what was explored. We know that hydrogen is a really great fuel. You put it in a car, you fire it up, out comes water and some hydroxide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and nothing else. No CO2 at all. Never can't possibly make CO2, right? So if you could run cars on that, but the problem is getting the hydrogen. And what Stanford has done is figured out what they call it, a water splitter.
I love that term.
it's kinda like, ooh, this is good. Somebody's got a good phrase for it. But it basically takes water, uses light and a little electricity. So it's not just light and it's not just electricity. Here's that combination stuff again. And they split hydrogen efficiently, and here's the big deal. They knew they could do it with a silicon-based material, but the water actually corroded the silicon, destroyed it. They now have using nickel, which is really cheap,
right,
as a coating in nano measures, by the way.
Wow.
You said this is a micro thing.
Yeah.
Two layers, nano layers, nanometers, that they've had it run for literally days with zero corrosion producing hydrogen.
Hmm.
Now, here's why that's so cool. Honda and Hyundai just announced that they will be bringing out in 2016 hydrogen-powered vehicles. I looked at that 2 weeks ago when they said that, and I thought, dummies, there's no hydrogen source.
Mm-hmm.
Now I run into the article, mm-hmm. and we can say, if Stanford's right, this is a very reasonable way of producing hydrogen from water, not from methane. And that changes the whole ball game.
And think about this. You have another thing that you report on, the car battery from carbon fiber panels on vehicles. So now when we think of a hybrid, we think of a carbon energy engine and an electric, right?
Yeah.
When we think of hybrid in the future, it may have a hydrogen splitter engine.
Yep.
With a solar panel unit with a different kind of battery on it.
It may
be hybrid three different ways, and there's no carbon anywhere.
That you put that together, I hadn't even thought about the third combination, but you're right. The rooftop and the hood can be the Petroskavite,
right?
You know, the high efficiency solar cell, so it's sitting in the sun producing hydrogen and storing it as fuel, or producing electricity and putting it in the batteries.
Yep. And think about that. Write that large, folks. With trucks and ships and things like that, and think about how we can and all of this because the marketplace is and government working together, being patient, not running the economy in order to make it happen. That's my little political dig there, folks. We're going to take a quick break. Joel Barker always makes us smarter when he joins us. He's got one more thing to talk to us about after these messages. Tintel. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.